Between juggling client meetings, managing your website, and keeping up with everyday tasks, who has time to stress about website security? With Kinsta, they take care of the technical stuff so you can focus on what you do best. Kinsta provides managed hosting for WordPress, offering lightning-fast load times, top-tier security, and unmatched human-only customer support. Whether you're a business owner, web developer, running a digital agency, Kinsta gives you complete peace of mind by keeping your site online secure and performing at its best. They even have a user-friendly dashboard called My Kinsta that simplifies the site management with tools for cache control, debugging, redirects, and CDN setup. And thanks to their unlimited free expert-led migrations, you won't experience any downtime when switching to Kinsta. Plus, their 24/7, 365 human-only support is available in multiple languages to help with any inquiries, no matter how complex. Ready to experience Kinsta's hosting for yourself? Get your first month free when you sign up at kinsta.com today. It's the perfect opportunity to see why Kinsta is trusted by thousands of businesses worldwide to power their website. Visit kinsta.com to get this limited time offer for new customers on select plans. Don't miss out. Get started for free today.
There are some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a large unexpected inheritance. An always on the verge of death phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone. Up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard so you can get a new one. Just trade in any phone from our top brands on any unlimited plan. With new line on my plan. Additional terms apply for trade-in and pay off your phone offer. See Verizon.com for details.
Welcome to Inspired by Her, the podcast that will give you the inspiration, motivation, and tips for success from some of the top executives, CEOs, and influencers from around the globe. With your host, serial entrepreneur, and named one of the most influential Filipina in the world, Kate Hancock.
And we are live. Hi, everyone. This is Kate Hancock. And today I have Sarah Gibbons. Hi, Sarah.
Hi, Kate. It's good to be with you.
I know. So, Sarah, tell our listener about yourself.
Oh, my gosh. Where do I start? So, first and foremost, I am a mother. I grew up in the Northwest, and we've been in LA now for about 10 years. Mm-hmm. I have three boys. By choice, 7, 9, and 11. I have an amazing husband who is super supportive of both my business and engaged with the boys. So that's a huge help. And then I spent years in the media world, and then in the last 10 years have launched my own coaching company. And so I run a company called Sarah Gibbons Co. And I spend my hours during the day coaching and being with pretty phenomenal people. And then the hours in between, I'm parenting my three boys.
Wow. Wow. Yeah. So I was lucky enough to be able to join one of your Title Summit.
Yes.
Yes. That was amazing. So tell me, what was the, what was the story behind it?
Yeah. So let me back up just a little bit. For those of you who aren't familiar with my work, one of the things that matters most to me is this idea of living your legacy. And when I think about even the word legacy, I think most of us are used to this word of it, that it's something that we leave behind, that it's, you know, a name on a building, or it's X amount of money in our bank account. And for me, what really led me to the work that I do is that I was really fortunate enough to get a start in media early on. So I worked for Amazon early 2000 and met my husband there. It was a great experience. Moved on to then a little company called MySpace, mm-hmm. the beginning of social media, and then moved abroad with MySpace. And through this, what I noticed was that while I loved the people I worked with, I loved technology, there was just the experience that I was having. I feel like I wasn't being true to myself. And this concept, well, it was more came out of a fear. I think when this is very, I think this happens to all of us humans, was that mm-hmm. I kept playing this game of, when I get to the end of my life, what do I want to be known for? And then more so, what's the legacy I want to be living in this moment? Who do I want to be? And so what I found that was true for me is that became really important was clarity around purpose, community, connection, and experience. And so one of the avenues in which I foster that is through Title Summit. And that's what you experience. And so Title Summit is actually only for women, even though I spend my time with both women and men. And it's a completely, as you know, an experiential day that allows people to come in and really experience transformation, particularly around their leadership. And the way in which I define leadership is much more of a way of being and not so much a hat that you wear or a job title. And so it happens once a year. It's going to actually, we haven't announced this yet, but it's going to be virtual this year, which I'm super excited about because it'll allow people from all over the world to join, and it'll create just a new dynamic, but it gets all of your sensories going. There's a level of professionalism, but there's still just, as you probably experienced, we galvanize like-minded people as far as values. And when you bring people together with like-minded values, they don't all have to have the same stories, but there's a wall that comes down and Title begins to ignite this ripple inside and allows people to really take their insights, but turn them into transformation from that day and go on. And whether they're looking to make changes in their career, relationships, parent, motherhood, you name it. But it is my most favorite day of the year. And I love that you got to experience it.
Yeah. I really love that community mm-hmm. that you built. And you know what I've noticed is, like, I love how you really made sure this is a non-judgmental community and everyone was so vulnerable.
Don't you find though, Kate, I'm so glad you brought that up. And I'm so happy that you experienced that, because in your world, even though you do incredible work for women and supporting other women, mm-hmm. my experience oftentimes is that even as those of us that are quite driven women, sometimes there can still be a level of competitiveness and a level of holding back. And oh my gosh, what happens when we drop all that and we just even the playing field is that you show up with this connection that we're all hungry for, but there's not this competitiveness. It gives space for us to be happy for other women's wins and then to really support other women. And then in turn, it's a lesson in how to receive. So that I'm so happy you brought that up, because that's something that we've really wanted to create. And we've also really stuck to quality over quantity, which I think probably goes against most people's business models, but it just feels so true to the brand that I want to grow and that I foster. So I love that you had that experience.
I know. I was really, I was really impressed by it and I loved it, because it's hard being a woman and we're so perfectionist in our
yeah.
own way.
Yeah.
And just being in one place where you can just be naked and no one will judge you.
Yeah.
It's hard yeah. to find.
It is really hard to find. And I've always, one of the mentors who I've done, I have quite a few coaches that I've worked with and invested over the years. And one of the coaches I've done a lot of work with, you know, has really taught me this idea that leadership can be really lonely as you move up in the more traditional sense. And I think that becomes true. Those of us who are quite driven and have, you know, whether it's by choice that we're working or we're pursuing other careers or we're volunteering time or we're managing households or children or relationships, it can feel really lonely and it can be really hard to let our guard down and to let, I mean, even just, I was running a training last week with a group of phenomenal women, my board group, and even these women who we all share similar values, it's really hard for them to even ask for support, even though they're in a group that has no, you know, what I call no edges, mm-hmm. and that is a place for them to be messy and explore. It isn't easy at all.
No, it's not. And what are you finding working with women? They're high achiever. Like you said, we're shy to ask for support because we feel judgy for ourselves. Mm. Like, what do you mean? I don't know about this. Instead of being open, like, yeah. look, I really need help. And I struggle with that myself too.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
Like, I don't want to ask for help, but now okay, I would rather ask for help because I gain nothing from being tough. Right.
Yes.
Yeah. So how do you work that in women's head? Because that's very hard.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting you say that. So I coach men. I also coach groups of mixed men and women, and then also just women. It's interesting. The men don't struggle with that nearly as much. Women do. I think it's primarily because we don't want to look like we don't know what we're doing. We don't want to feel stupid. I think some of it is just our old stories of not feeling like we're enough. And so the short answer, Kate, is to begin to look at the mindset, right? So you can take all these actions out into the world, but if you're not taking time to really look at what are the beliefs, what are the habits that I'm choosing to operate in that are limiting my ability, particularly, you know, when I hear some of my female clients say, you know, I'm just overworked. I don't have enough time in the day. You know, I can point to their thoughts that they're having around how much they need to do. I think there's a trend right now for women in particular to, and particularly right now, because we're under so much pressure with COVID. But I think there is just a natural tendency to begin to martyr about it and to step out of leadership. So I really began to teach and work with my female clients in real time. What does it look like to lead? What are the values that matter most to you? And if you come from those values, then what habits, what beliefs are you going to take on if the experience you're really wanting to have is, yes, it's one of productivity, but it's also joy. And that's where it always goes back to me for like, what do you want? How do you want to live your legacy today? Like today's a Monday. I have a lot on today. I get to spend time with you. I've already coached this morning. I have my oldest boy is home. He's not in any sort of camp today. And then this afternoon I have clients. While I'm moving forward and making an impact, I also want to actually enjoy this experience. So it's not as easy as a 1, 2, 3, but it's a process. And I always say to my clients, this is a commitment. If you're committed to experiencing your leadership and what it's like to be in leadership, then oh my gosh, you're going to have so much more joy and grace and calm throughout your day, which are really the three things I hear from most women, aside from materialistic things like, maybe they're, you know, wanting to grow their business financially, but that experience is really what they're hungry for. And so it does, it comes back to how are you showing up as a leader? And do you understand what really matters most to you? And are you aligning your actions that you take throughout the day with what you say matters to you?
Yeah. And yeah. Sarah, I have a question for you, especially in this difficult time. It's hard not to hide yourself under your comforter, right?
Because yeah.
everything is collapsing. I mean, that's, you know, it's what's happening. Like, how do you motivate someone to get out of it?
You know, it's funny you asked that. I was coaching a client of mine this morning and she was saying, you know, she was struggling with that and they're getting ready to, her husband is in entertainment and is directing a show. So they're relocating for about 5 months so that they can be on set together. And I was saying, oh man, I've been waking up in the morning feeling pretty sluggish. And I think it's really important now more than ever. And I'm going to preface this with, by no means do I feel like I have it all figured out, but I can tell you where I see gains. I think it's going back to the basics of self-care. And when I say self-care, I'm really talking about self-care that nourishes our spirit. So for example, I have been doing a better job at getting myself to bed earlier at night. I've created very simple morning rituals like you. You know, you have children, yours are a bit older, but you know, my children hit the ground fairly early. So I love that 5-minute journal. I've done it for years. I took a break. I'm back in it. I just keep it next to my bed. I have a beautiful book that my mother-in-law gave me that is just daily passages from God that I just can read a short excerpt. It gives me something to meditate on. I do a 5-minute, 10-minute meditation. So all in all, it's probably 15 minutes. And then I always work in exercise. Sometimes that's just a walk. I mean, I tell my clients like right now I don't really feel like going for a big run, but I love doing a 30-minute walk or listening to a podcast. We're really fortunate that we live close to the beach. So I always say the beach is like the great equalizer with all my boys. So we spend a lot of time at the beach. But I just think it's so important to find the things that nourish your spirit, but to do them in bite size and to be really realistic, just so that you can start to raise your vibration to a level that, you know, just allows you to feel a sense of calm. Because if we're not calm, it's really hard to show up in leadership in our business, mm-hmm. and marriage and partnership and friendship, all of it. So go back to basics. That's my 2 cents.
It's very true.
Yeah.
And Sarah, do you still remember your very first client when you started the coaching business?
I do.
Tell me about that experience.
Oh my gosh. It's an amazing story. So I'm almost a little bit embarrassed to admit this because she'll probably hear this, but she is a phenomenal creative director, probably one of the best creative directors in the country. And I love this about her. She posted an ad in Nextdoor saying she was looking for a coach. Okay, when I say she's one of the best creative directors, she was also a partner in an ad agency. So I think it's sort of, I have to actually ask her about this because it's been quite a few years now. But anyway, she posted this ad saying she was looking for a coach. And I had gone back, gotten my master's in spiritual psychology, and I had been coaching quite a few clients. I have also led enormous teams in media, both domestically and internationally. So it wasn't like this was my first time ever coaching. But anyway, I reached out to her and I said, look, I'm managing a sales team, but I'm also looking to build a boutique client business. Do you want to have a conversation? And so we ended up having a conversation and she hired me. And it was like anything when you launch a business, you know, you're learning on the fly, but I think it was one of those experiences where I could, and one of the universal truths I believe is that when we take intentional action, the universe meets us at that intentional action. And I had really been intentional about taking action and building this business. And I can honestly say this, I didn't feel like I was doubting that she chose me. It just felt really natural and easy. And since then, I have coached her. We've become quite good friends. She has been a huge referral for me. I'm forever grateful. It has opened my world. I coach a lot of people in the creative world, creative directors at media agencies, ad agencies, tech. And I think I just gravitate towards people who are really using their creativity, but making an impact in the world. But I mean, I literally answered something in Nextdoor and I didn't think twice about it.
Wow.
Isn't that funny?
Is it crazy? Yeah.
I know.
You know, yeah. But you know, when I look at your website, you're so clear about your intentions and your why and your purpose. Mm. And I think that right there, even if I don't know you, I would be gravitated to you.
Oh man, that feels so good. Cause you know, I don't know if you ever feel this way when you're running your business, you have multiple businesses. Sometimes you can be in it and you feel so clear. And then you hear someone else talk and you're like, wait, what is my mission again? What is my vision? What am I doing? So I think for me, what's just helped me, Kate, is I do spend a lot of time reminding myself why I do what I do. At the end of the day, what's really important to me. And I think that just taking those few moments, and I take time to write it down just to connect with my why, it creates a sense of clarity. Mm-hmm. And I've also invested in my own coaches to work with, and they have really challenged me and stretched me to get even more clear, particularly as I'm in the process of building out, you know, programs for 2021 and what I want that to look like. Mm-hmm. But I think it's actually really hard to do on your own. I think that's why people invest in coaches and support. It's hard to get that clarity on your own.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Now, Sarah, I want to go back to the younger Sarah. Sarah,
yes.
What city or town that you grew up in? Like, tell me.
Oh, I grew up in a town called Kirkland, Washington. Mm-hmm. And it's anyone who's from the Northwest or from Seattle, it's just across the lake. I'm an only child. My mom couldn't have any more kids. And, I was really fortunate because both my parents come from larger families. So I have a lot of cousins who are like brothers and sisters to me. And of course now their spouses are too. And then I grew up in Kirkland, but I actually went to high school in Seattle. I switched high schools halfway through high school, which you know, I always look back as a real pivotal moment for me. I think at a young age, I was really craving more diversity, diversity in every way. You know, the town that I grew up in was quite homogenous, quite white. And I had been spending my summers at the most amazing YMCA camp on Orcas Island called Camp Rockyla, where it really exposed me to what is possible when you are mixed with kids, different races, different economic background. And so I got the opportunity to go to a school in Seattle that really prides itself on diversity. And it was, I think it was always in my DNA, just that hungry for connection, but with people that don't look like me and aren't just like me. And so I kind of got the best of both worlds. I got a bit of a suburban life, but then city life too. Mm-hmm.
And what kind of kid are you in high school?
Oh, that's a good question. So I'm a rule follower. I was a rule follower. If my mother's watching this, she would say I definitely have a bit of sass. Mm-hmm. What else? School didn't come overly easy for me. I think I was very athletic, really committed to sports and dance. And at a very young age, I got into volunteering. Both my grandmothers were really, and my mother have a real volunteerism heart. But yeah, school didn't come easy for me. And so I think there was sort of just that added pressure of that I put on myself, not so much from my parents. But I was a definite rule follower. I mean, I'm still kind of a rule follower. I mean, I have to work on not living so much in a black and white world, as you know, my husband would say. But yeah, I was a definite rule follower.
Awesome. Yeah. Now, how did you get into the media?
Oh my gosh, that's a great question. You know, I graduated. I'm going to date myself here, but I graduated from UW in '99, and there was a little company called GoToNet that was really the height of the internet world. And there, the high school in which I graduated from, there was another school very similar to it out of Seattle. And a lot of folks who were a couple years older were working in that at this company. And so I can remember in this interview, Kate, they asked me what a portal was. And I did not prepare for this interview. I didn't know what a portal was. I mean, this was back, you guys, in '99. When online advertising was just getting going. And so anyway, I got this job. I loved it. It was a bit of a dream job. I worked with really young people. It was fast paced. Back then, no one was teaching online advertising. So it was really cutting edge. And then I ended up, then the layoffs happened across the, you know, in the 2000, maybe it's 2001. And then from there, I got this job at Amazon, and my husband and I, who was not my husband at the time, we ended up becoming the first, really the pioneers for online advertising for Amazon. And I had all the non-studio business and he had all the studio business. So we would bebop around the country, just piecing it together. And when we started dating, obviously there was a lot of, you know, talk about not dating your colleague and all of that. And I happened to be at Sundance Film Festival for IMDb and Amazon. And I had invited a friend out to come stay with me because I was young and, you know, I had a place to stay. And so she said, well, great, I'll come, but I've got one party to go to. And it happened to be the founders of MySpace. She had gone to college with one of them. And so that's how I ended up. I mean, I can't make this up. It was like, and then I started managing, you know, advertising for part of the MySpace business, both domestically and abroad. But back then, Facebook was just getting going. In fact, it was only a college EDU site. And we were comparing ourselves to Friendster. I mean, it was a completely different space. It was like the Wild West. And I loved it. I loved the fast pace. I loved the people. I think for me, what was missing was just the knowing that when I put my head on the pillow at night, that I was making a difference in someone's life. I mean, that was always something that was important to me. And so I could see that eventually I was going to move out of it. I just didn't know what that was going to look like.
Oh, wow. Well, when you were involved in Amazon for that ad agency there.
Yeah.
Do you know that Amazon's going to be where they are now? This episode of Inspired by Her is brought to you by Wagner Spray Tech. For a while now, we have been wanting to paint our RV.
Luckily, we came across this Wagner Paints sprayer called the Flexio 4000. We had a blast painting the outside of the RV because it was 10 times faster than using a brush, which is good, especially in the hot sun. Dan is pretty messy and normally gets paint everywhere. But with the Wagner Flexio 4000, he was able to make it look professionally done since it sprays directly from the can. Also, cleanup was super simple and only took 5 minutes. Visit the link in the show notes today and check it out, the Wagner Spray Tech Flexio 4000. Did you see that?
I think so. I don't know if I could ever tell you I could see that, you know, it would be the number one company for all the ways, but I would say working at Amazon was like getting an MBA because there's some things that happen in the Amazon culture. And look, it's a different culture. It's a very different company now. I can't speak to how it is now, but I think the principles are the same. I think the values that Jeff Bezos instills, and it doesn't matter what position you're in, are very much there today, 20 years later. And there was definitely a focus still back then on customer service and being number one in the market. And you could feel that happening. You know, I don't know if I could ever go back to working for a big company like that, but you could see that it was going to be, and it was already back then. I mean, it was on the front page of Wall Street Journal, New York Times pretty regularly. So it was already on its way.
Wow. It's amazing. Yeah. Like you're in the biggest company, Amazon, and you get involved in MySpace and the Friendster. Yeah. I remember Friendster back in the day.
Right. Yeah, I know. We'd be like, have you ever heard of Friendster? Well, check out us, MySpace. And, you know, I guess I want to, you know, I'm sharing the highlights of my career. For anyone who's listening or watching, there have been other companies that I've worked for that haven't been name brand companies. They've had phenomenal people. And I think through those experiences, what I've garnered is that at the end of the day, I'm the brand. Mm-hmm. And I was fortunate to have MySpace. No one had heard of us when I started working for them. So I can't say that that was a super easy sell. However, Amazon, certainly people took our phone calls. But, you know, there's plenty of times where I've worked for other companies where I had to really focus on my own leadership, that it wasn't so much about this company. Particularly online advertising has evolved so much. I mean, when I got into it, it wasn't automated. Now there's this thing called programmatic, which I don't want to bore you with details. You probably know, but it's completely different. And it's very much a commodity. And, you know, I think the lesson that I got later on that's really served me now in my business that, yes, I have this brand, SG & Co., that I'm building in a community. But at the end of the day, really, I'm the brand. And people who want to work because they like what they see in SG & Co., ultimately, they're investing in me. They like what they see in me. And so that's been a real lesson in really learning to trust. And as you know, standing in my own leadership as I grow my business, because when you're running your own business, you don't really have anything to fall back on, right?
It's just you.
It's your brand. Yeah. Yeah. So that I had a big learning curve around mm-hmm. that was a very different experience.
Wow. I love that. Now, a lot of women in particular, female entrepreneur, they still don't know how to brand themselves. They don't understand that you yourself is the brand. How do you explain that to your client?
Yeah, let me preface that with saying, I think it's an evolution. I think there are, when we think about branding ourselves, I think the place to start is getting, again, really clear on what do I value? Who do I want to be in the world? What's the impact I want to have? What's the problem I'm solving for? What's keeping people up at night? And getting really crystal clear. And then I think it's really important to look for people and get support. There are phenomenal people out there who are, I mean, some of them are my clients. Some of them are, in fact, whereas I'm going to share something with you, do a little plug here. I'm coming back. Actually, I was going to do a plug earlier. This is a book by, you know, Kalika. If you don't know Kalika, it's called The Little Brand Book. Kalika is a phenomenal entrepreneur, but really helps people brand. And so I think it's why I'm pointing to Kalika is that I think it starts with us early on, but then I think we have to invest and be willing to get support. My zone of genius is not branding, but I have people in my world like Kalika who absolutely can help me. And so whether it's her or it's someone else, but I think it's an evolution. And I think it means us as women, where I notice what gets in the way is we have a really hard time slowing down. Mm-hmm. And we have a really hard time being patient. We want everything right away. And there's truth to, you have to slow down to speed up. And so taking that space to slow down. Yeah. What is my why today? What if I'm going to put a message even on social media today, why am I doing that message? What's the intention behind it? And so I practice day in, day out to the point where I think my clients are blue in the face, what it's like to use intention and live from intention, even as you're doing just the minor things throughout mm-hmm. your day. But it, to me, that's what starts to set the tone for your own personal brand. And then of course it's, you know, getting people like Kalika to help you.
Help you. Yeah.
Yeah.
Can you name a person who has had tremendous impact on you as a leader?
Oh man, there's so many, but I think I have to go with my husband, John. Mm-hmm. John and I are wildly different. And I joke with my girlfriends. I'm pretty sure by choice, I didn't marry someone just like me. And so with that comes a learning curve. And when I think about my husband, the things that sometimes can drive me batty is the very thing that I love the most about him. And he practices a principle that if I could be known by this principle, whenever my time is up, and that's generosity. I mean, he almost to a fault, he's a Texan. So he will stop and talk to anyone. He will offer help. He's the first to raise his hand to volunteer. He just finished a 2-year volunteer position, basically being co-leader of the parent organization at our elementary school. And what I believe is that generosity is a growth strategy. And I don't think his intention ever is to, I'm going to be generous so I can get something back. But boy, does it come back in spades. And it also just the impact, it just, when I see him being that way, it brings so much joy. And so it's really something that I try to practice. Sometimes I have to be minute by minute. Sometimes it's day by day, but just this idea of really practicing generosity. You know, I think it's really easy when someone reaches out to be like, oh, I don't have time to meet, or, oh, here, let me just send you an email, and actually like, hey, let's jump on the phone for 15 minutes. I don't know if I'm going to get anything out of it, but I think I could certainly listen to you and support you. And so just really leading with that generosity. And so while there are so many of the obvious people, particularly in the spiritual world, you know, everyone from Oprah to Steve Chandler, who's a coach that I love, but it really comes back to, I think, my husband and obviously my children, who are my greatest teachers by far. And the first to point out when I screw up. So there's a quick, you get your feedback really quickly from your kids. So I think that's quite
absolutely helpful. They're so honest, yeah. Right?
Oh my gosh. They're so honest. I ran to the post office this morning and I went to mail something to a client, and it was kind of expensive because I was mailing it in a big box, and she told me the cost, and I go, oh. And I, you know, said the F word, and we walked out. My 11-year-old goes, can you please not do that in public? Yes. I was like, okay. I was like, was I that loud? I'm like, oh, okay. You know, like they're just so real.
It's so real. Yeah. I remember so real. I did that, and my 13-year-old, he was 8 at the time. Mom, I think you really have to wash your mouth this time.
Oh God, you and I know. I know. I blame my husband for that. He's a, yeah, I know. I'm definitely out of leadership with my language sometimes.
No, Sarah, can you tell me what was the most challenging experience you've had to overcome?
Mm. I mean, there's so many around parenthood. You know, I think for me, my husband and I had an incredible opportunity. The stars aligned right after we got married. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, 4 weeks after we got married, we were married in August 2007. We moved to London. And I was with MySpace at the time. And when I moved over there, I jumped into managing part of the business for MySpace in London International. I mean, it was an incredible opportunity, but the adjustment to living abroad, I had never really lived away from my family, except for I'd gone to school for a year in California. So living abroad, adjusting to a really different work culture, mm-hmm. adjusting to a team that was very multi-international, going from doing deals that were all US currency to multi-currency, to the Brits have a lot figured out around work culture. But what they do differently that I didn't love as much is that they work in an office, mm-hmm. like for a full day. And even when I worked at Amazon, I'm kind of beat to my own drum. So there was just a lot to navigate at once. And it was kind of like going from the shallow end to the deep end, not having family there. And what I love about it is I realized how resilient I am, but also it allowed my husband and I to build a marriage that was really just based on he and I. We both have really close families. And I think one of the pitfalls I see with particularly couples who would just get married is that they're still so tied to their families and all of the beautiful things of going to birthday and Sunday dinners, but that can start to feel like obligations. And to just do away with that and be able to define our marriage. And then we ended up having our first baby abroad in London in the middle of winter. And there were a lot of complications around, he's healthy, but there were complications around that. And so I think it just continued to get these lessons of what it's like to be resilient. And it prepared us for, we have the last 5 years had other challenges, both with careers and parenthood. And it absolutely just gave us, prepared us for things that I don't know how we would have been able to navigate had we not had those experiences, the things that people don't talk about, and all of a sudden we found ourselves in them. Yeah. So, I mean, that was a huge, huge learning opportunity for me and my husband, I would say.
Thank you for sharing. Now, yeah. Lara, what advice would you give to an aspiring entrepreneur?
What inspiring advice? Slow down to speed up. I think we as entrepreneurs, particularly now that we have COVID and we're dealing with so much more time online, I think it is so, so important to take space, to schedule space in your day, to be with your thoughts, to be connected to the outdoors, to remember why it is you want to be an entrepreneur in the first place, and to look at where you can get support. You know, for me, when I had my third child, I think that's where I was like, all right, some of this stuff is going to go. It just has to. And, you know, maybe it'll look inconsistent to my community, but I had to get really crystal clear on what mattered most to me. I do believe that we can have our version of our all, but it ultimately comes down to what do we really want that all to look like? And that all can't be everything in the kitchen sink. And so I think when I hear entrepreneurs that are so burnt out, the first thing I want to say is it's in your rest and it's in the quiet that you're most creative, that you can connect with your thoughts, that you can get clear. And then I guess the other thing I would say, and this is something I have to remind myself daily, is that we can't wait to feel inspired, that it's actually intentional action creates inspiration. So there are plenty of days where I sit down, I'm like, oh, I don't feel like writing my blog this week. But I got to just think of like, all right, there are people in my community who really enjoy and get something out of my blog. So that's a commitment. And to me, one of my values is keeping my word, is integrity. And so the minute I start to sit down, yeah, the first 10 minutes, I might feel resistance. But then after that, I'm inspired and off I go.
Love it. Thank you for sharing. Yeah. Now, Sarah, how do you want to be remembered?
I was thinking about this. I love that question because I ask my clients that all the time. I think first and foremost, I want to be remembered by someone who is generous and kind. I think this word kind, I don't know if it gets overused or not, but I know for me, when I meet kind people, I'm just like, oh, thank you. I think the other piece is I would love for people to feel like they are the only thing that matters when they are in a conversation with me, and that they feel the impact of their own goodness. That this idea that I was, that my legacy is someone who invokes and ignites the possibility and the infinite potential that are inside people. I just fundamentally believe that all of us are here with a mission. And to me, the greatest gift I can give people is that people experience their zone of genius and that they love it. I can't think of anything more upsetting to get to the end of your life, and maybe you have the fancy house or however much money or however many kids, or you've been married or you get to travel. But if the experience isn't one that allows you joy, then what's the point of all of it? So I hope that, you know, I really get to continue to do this work and to ignite those experiences for other people, and that particularly my husband and my kids know me as someone who's generous and who's kind and funny, who brings humor to situations and that doesn't take life too, you know, too seriously.
Oh my God, Sarah, thank you so much for sharing.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
And what's your handle? Where can they find you?
Yeah. So I would say two things. One, I would love for you, if you're not already a part of my community, certainly sign up for our weekly newsletter. It goes out on Fridays. We have a lot of fun with it. We share a blog article. We feature some of the cool things that our clients are up to. I've also been doing this really fun series called Shelter and Play. I'm really into reading. I do audiobooks and music and all sorts of cool things that I discover. So I share that. So sign up at sarahgibbons.co for that. And then you can also join us, same handle, Sarah Gibbons Co. on Instagram. Join our community there. I'm actually getting ready to start a new interview series that we're going to be doing live on Instagram called Living Legacies. Super excited about it. So if this kind of, you know, if you're someone who, you know, shares values of first and foremost connection, and you're craving impact, and you have ambition to experience all of who you're here to become, then, you know, find me, find our brand. We'd love for you to come on in and be a part of it.
I would love to. Sarah, you inspired me. I love you're so grounded and your energy. Mm.
I think that's... Thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah. I appreciate that. I have to say, I think my parents really emphasized that to me. You know, we were a middle working class growing up, and I think that's one thing I've always really tried to remember through the highs and lows of my business and just my life, is that just how important it is to keep your feet on the ground, and that, you know, it brings me joy. And ultimately, the more I'm able to connect with people, the more I get from it, but also others get from it too. But if I'm not grounded, then there's no possibility for connection. So
thank you so much. Thank you so much for sharing.
Thank you. And thank you for making space. I can't wait to get to know more people in your community and Title 2021.
Yes, I can't wait to join. Yeah. I need to get that link. Thank you, Sarah.
All right. Have a beautiful day.
All right. You too. Bye.
Bye.
We hope you enjoyed the show. Don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe. And visit katehancock.com so you don't miss out on the next episode.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ12. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ12 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.